quarter, keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way.
Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on Dynasty Wall Street, happily a member of the Dynasty Trade Calculators podcast stream. I am your host, Russ Fisher, at Dynasty Outhouse. I was about to say as always, but it's been once before, so for a second time, and hopefully as always, we have John Bosch at John Bosch FF and Kane Fassell at Devi underscore Kane. We are here to say, hey, let's talk about this player in terms of trade value on the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Oh, man. All right. So what we're going to do is we're each going to pick a player from a different position. And then we are going to talk about guys around that area in trade value, how we would value them in that group. And then hopefully argue a little bit, because it's just boring if we all just keep on agreeing. No, we're not going to. John said no.
Discuss.
Oh, gross. All right, I guess. First, we are going to go. Okay, no, I was about to say, well, actually it works, because last time I said, well, I'm talking, so I'm just going to keep talking. But John Bosch so lovingly reminded me that we go in order here, and we go quarterback, then running back, and then wide receiver. But today, I'm doing quarterbacks, so I do actually get to go first anyway. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to start with, all right, so the player I'm going to talk about this with, again, like last week, it's not necessarily the player I care about completely. It's the fact that we take these sophomore quarterbacks at such blind faith that what we've seen in their rookie years, that this is what they are. We did it with Baker when he just came and destroyed the world. You know, we got a little lucky. Well, Lamar, I mean, technically that was after his full sophomore year, but, you know, he big regression came down. So I want to talk about Justin Herbert for a second, because he quickly just jumped his way all the way up to top 10-ish QB. And I want to talk about if we still find him there, because I think we've seen that he is human, right? Like, that's weird for what we saw him last season, where every single game he was putting up 300 something yards and three touchdowns. He looks good. To me, he still looks very good when he plays. But we have a new OC, and the passing game is a little different than it was last year. And he's not putting up the fantasy points he did last year. So I want to talk about Justin Herbert, who comes in at 56.6 on the trade calculator, which is the equivalent of two early firsts and a mid-second, which come in at 56.8. So that is practically even. And since I don't remember who claimed which positions otherwise, and I introduced John first, I'm going to ask John, which would you rather have? Well, hold on. I'm going to remember this time. All values based on 12-team. Superflex PPR leagues. So in a 12-team Superflex PPR league, would you rather have Justin Herbert or two early firsts and a mid-second?
I will take the picks. we've talked about it already, how I tend to attack quarterback. Given two firsts and a second, I mean, that's, I expect Herbert obviously to be my quarterback one, and that's what he is. I mean, I rank him very highly. I do believe that's the right value for him. I mean, he is probably actually worth more than that because of what you should be getting out of him for the next 10 years. I also don't play Dynasty by the next 10 years. I think about the next year or two. So that's doesn't really go into my evaluation. But I know it does for a lot of people. And Justin Herbert has that attraction to him. So that makes him very, 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 very valuable. I honestly think you could probably get more. I bet you could get two early firsts and a late first. I mean, he feels like a three firsts type player, really. So I think he's worth more than what the picks are. I still want the picks because I just don't care about spending up on a quarterback. I just don't do it. Even in Superflex, I'm happy to have Herbert because I would have gotten him as a rookie. He's not somebody I don't go out and acquire Patrick Mahomes. I don't go out and acquire Lamar Jackson. I don't go out and acquire Justin Herbert. If I have them, I might move them. And then I'll take another rookie later. Like, I'll take a rookie quarterback and hope it hits. And if not, like I've said before, I'll just fill in with Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, guys that are fine at quarterback. I want to stack my other positions, and getting two early firsts in Superflex when you don't want to draft quarterbacks all the time allows you to really stockpile other talented positions. What do you think, Kane?
I think John actually made the point as to why Justin Herbert is the choice here. Because because you actually can get more for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, you can.
Right? And that's the reason, right? For me, I know that Justin Herbert is worth at least three firsts, and knowing, the 2022 draft, quarterbacks are currently in flux, and I don't know how they're going to shake out. Obviously, you can come back to this after the NFL draft happens, and then you have a whole lot more clarity, right, as to what the first-round rookie draft is going to look like. But right now, give me Justin Herbert because he's worth three firsts at this point. And also, it's worth noting that, the Chargers defense is just playing a little bit better than they did last year, which is not difficult to do. It seems like their defense has just been, not great for years. But I think Justin Herbert is still the value because he's basically the only person that's moving the ball for that offense. So I'd rather have the quarterback because I know I can just get more later.
Yeah, I agree with Kane, and it's for a lot of the reasons he just said. He should be worth more, and the real important part is, besides what we think of this draft class right now, it would be something crazy have to happen for this exact trade not to be there at the end of the season, or even when's the draft? Like April? My brain is just not working right now. So this trade will always be there, so there's no reason to rush to do it. And again, you could and should get more, because even if Justin Herbert isn't that runaway QB1 like we all hoped he would after the end of last season, he is going to be a solid QB1 for the next 10 years, which I think we have to say with a stupid voice every single time, because we know no one's holding on to anyone for 10 years. Man, I'll be happy if I'm still playing fantasy football in 10 years. Why wouldn't I be? I don't know why I just said that. That's besides the point. But yeah, so I'm going to go along with Herbert as well. But I would stare at it. I would think about it. It's not one of those, I'm not going to do it. That value is just, but I'm still Herbert. Okay, so let's go.
You guys changed my mind. I'll jump over to the side that I kind of fought for.
Yeah,
really close, though.
Yeah, I'm going to take the picks, but let me tell you why it should be Herbert.
I know, everything I said led to Herbert, but I always feel gross when I have a really high-value quarterback on my teams.
You're pretty much always going to pick the picks when we talk about QBs, because you can always just take one of those picks and trade it for a usable quarterback, and then you have bonus picks.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not really what we're talking about.
You're right. In a value vacuum, it's Herbert. Give me that give me that third first, though, and then it's easy. I'm taking picks.
Yeah,
I'm with you. If I get three firsts and one is even late to mid, if that third first is late to mid and I have two earlies, I'm going to take the picks over Justin Herbert.
Yeah. So it's that close with the second. But
so I think we're at the point now where we realize Herbert is not in that top tier quarterback. To me, the top tier of quarterback is Mahomes, Kyler, Josh Allen.
Sure,
whether that's two separate tiers for you or if that's whatever, to me, those three are above the level of Herbert.
Mahomes plays football?
I mean, he's taken a couple of weeks off, but yeah.
Okay.
So the guys I have, Dynasty Trade Calculator has around him in value are Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Russell Wilson, and clearly don't forget to put Herbert in there. We've been talking to John first. So John, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Russell Wilson's going to be last on my list because he is always last on my list for any quarterback list that you're going to give me. I'm sorry. He is overvalued in fantasy football. Great for reality football. Fantasy football, he's a letdown about half the time. So I will not pay up for that. It sucks, but is what it is. And a lot of people love Russ. I know that. I love a certain Russ, but aww. Russell Wilson and I will pass on. So, alrighty. He's going to be last on my list. I will go. I actually think, this is a good list. I know I had Herbert up there earlier in the year. Like, it would have been Herbert at the top, but I think I'm switching over to Burrow. I think Burrow is going to be number one on my list, and it's because of the weapons that he has. Granted, Herbert also has great weapons, but their situations are a little bit different. Keenan Allen's a little bit older. Mike Williams is in a contract year. That's not the case for Chase and Higgins. So.
And is also comparatively older anyway.
Yeah, I mean, not a big deal. Mike Williams older. Yes. Agreed, yes. I'm going to go with Burrow at one. I'm going to go Lamar at two. I forgot we had Lamar on the list. Ooh, Lamar could maybe push for one. They'd be really close. I think they're kind of a tier, actually, of Burrow and Lamar. I just like them a little bit more. I'll go Herbert, Dak, Trevor Lawrence as the next three. Trevor Lawrence is kind of tough. Honestly, I haven't been super impressed, and I know we all want to just blame it on his coach, Urban Meyer, and the Jags. I'm still hopeful. I'm not giving up on him by any means. I think he's going to still be just fine, but maybe his ceiling isn't what we once thought it was. So he's going to end up last in that tier. And then, of course, Russell Wilson in a tier of his own on this list. What about you, King?
So this one's really tough for me. I think Lamar is first, just because I think over the next 4 years, Lamar Jackson's probably the best fantasy quarterback on this list. And then I have Herbert at two, and then Joe Burrow at three. And then it gets real messy. Because I'm a huge Trevor Lawrence supporter. Before the season started, I moved Burrow in the 105 for Trevor Lawrence.
You did?
Wow.
And I am still fine with that. Like, my team's rebuilding, so it's not like I needed Burrow to score points. I'm probably going Trevor Lawrence at four and Dak at five and Russell Wilson at six. I think a lot of the issues with Trevor Lawrence is that offense. It's bad. He's throwing to a punt returner, a tight end, and an undrafted running back. Like, what do you want from him? So I still have him in pretty high regard. But yeah, overall, I think Herbert is second on my list.
Yeah. Well, at least we all have one thing in common, and that is, unfortunately, that Russell Wilson is on the bottom. But my order is a little different. I think we all push Lamar around one, if not two. So, but Lamar is my one because, like Kane said, the next 2-3 years, I think he's easily the best fantasy football quarterback. Even this past week, that game was ugly. That game was not good. Lamar didn't play good. He still put up like 30 freaking fantasy points. So I really just feel like he's safe. Even in a bad year, last year, where we just thought he was the worst, he was like QB 12 or 13. Again, didn't live up to the hype, didn't live up to the preseason value, but still put up a solid fantasy year. And that's what we care about, fantasy points. I have Dak at two because I don't know if this is me take locking because he hasn't necessarily been great this year, but neither have his receivers. There's a lot of drop balls. There's a lot of things just not working for them. But I believe in the quarterback. I believe in the receivers he has around him. They can just be so darn good that I'm willing to just say Dak is my two. At three, I have Justin Herbert for all the reasons that have been said before. He's awesome. I love Keenan Allen. I love Mike Williams. I mean, Jared Cook is just never going to go away. Even we had a Steven Anderson sighting this weekend. It's been fun. And he's talented, and they'll always seem to have enough talented players around him. I have Burrow at four. And honestly, you can move Burrow almost anywhere, and I probably could rationalize it, mostly because that defense is so damn bad. Their offense has just so many good players on it. I love all of their receivers. CJ Uzuma, I don't care that we barely know his name. He's good. I mean, if they'd have taken Pitts or anyone but Chase and just left Higgins to be awesome as the X guy there, I was about to say sooner or later, maybe I'll stop complaining about that, but let's face it, I'm never going to stop complaining about that. And at five, I have Trevor Lawrence. But it's what John said. I want to blame it all on the Jags. Yes, he is throwing to absolutely nothing, but are they really going to fire Urban Meyer after one season? If they haven't done it yet, I don't think they're going to. Like, they'll probably give him 2 or 3 years. They can't revamp that offense that quickly, I don't think. But, you know, Allen Robinson or something goes back to Jacksonville to catch with Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball. And that could probably change things for me. But for now, T-Law at 5, Wilson at 6.
All right, you talked me into it. Put Dak over Trevor Lawrence.
Yay!
I think they're both relatively close. Really, depending on what do you think your offense is, or your team is going to do over the next like 3 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Football. If you're competing, like, yeah, Dak is worth more. But if you're just trying to fully rebuild your team, I'm not sure Dak is fully the piece that you want to have. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong in that regard.
I mean, if you're rebuilding, I mean, it's not like Dak's going anywhere anytime soon. He's still, man, let's face it. Old has a lot of different meanings in fantasy football, but for a quarterback, the guy's not old. So just ignore that. But still, I'd love going as young as humanly possible if I'm rebuilding, in which case that's Burrow or Lawrence, not really Dak. All right. So who has what next? Kane, I think you're doing running backs, right?
I am. And we're going to do a rookie running back price check here. And it's not going to be the rookie running back that you think I'm going to talk
about.
Let's
do some Ramondre Stevenson, baby.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's an injured running back.
Do you want a third round pick or do you want Ramondre Stevenson?
Yeah.
no, so we're actually going to talk about the 49ers running back Elijah Mitchell.
Okay.
Because I think this one's really, really interesting with the players that are around him. And I'll get to that in a second. But currently, Elijah Mitchell is the value of a mid-2022 first round pick. And I think that's really, really interesting because this running back class, there's currently like 3 or 4 guys in the 2022 class, and then there's nothing else, right? And if we get poor landing spots for a few of these, like, then they don't excite fantasy football players. So if you're competing this year, would you rather have Elijah Mitchell or mid-2022 first? And that's probably me leading the question, just a hair. But in a vacuum, Russ, do you want Elijah Mitchell or a mid-2022 first?
See, I want the first because I don't think in the real world you can get a first for Elijah Mitchell, though I don't think anyone sells him for less. But also, flip that around, I think I can get something better for that mid-first than Elijah Mitchell, at least production-wise. Because maybe Elijah Mitchell is a thing for San Francisco for the next few years. But if I'm competing, or even if I'm rebuilding, I think I want that pick because I could do better things with it.
You feel the same way, John?
If I'm competing, I'll give up the pick for Elijah Mitchell. I don't care. Like, he's healthy now. He's a running back. And he's scoring pretty well. I mean, he's had a couple of good weeks here, I do believe, right? So I'm okay given that.
But he's a running back on San Francisco. So even if he's healthy now, give him a week.
No, everybody says that, but you have to get hurt and then you get reset. Like, and so, I mean, you can't bet on an injury. I think if he stays healthy, he remains the focal point running back. Maybe not everybody. Maybe Jeff Wilson returns and for some unknown reason, like, cuts into his workload. I don't think it's going to be a lot. I think Elijah Mitchell has a pretty stable amount of production coming his way. As long as he's healthy over the next, you know, well, what do we have? 8 weeks left of fantasy football, essentially. Oh my God. How do we only have that much left? That's crazy. So I'm going to give that pick if I'm competing, especially. If I'm not competing, I'm probably looking at it like, well, what did I invest to get Elijah Mitchell? It was a whole lot less than a first. The situation, like Russ said, kind of tenuous. Just because it's San Francisco. That's literally the only reason that we don't like it. And we all wanted a guy to go to the San Francisco landing spot. Now we have a guy at the San Francisco landing spot. But because there's these other guys that could be the guy, I don't know. It feels weird that everybody wanted a running back to go to. It bumped Trey Sermon up draft boards because he landed in San Francisco. And now people
don't use other people's bad process.
I'm just saying, like, people wanted that San Francisco landing spot. Now we have a young running back in that San Francisco running back spot, but people are now like, they don't like the San Francisco running back spot. I don't understand that. I think I could give him up though still because he's a running back. So if I'm not competing, I try to get rid of all my running backs. I mean, I literally have rosters in the offseason where I don't have running backs on them. Well, I just don't have them. There's no point to have a running back until your season starts, basically. So, you know, this is a big one where if I'm competing, I'll give it. That's just the price I pay. If it's an overpay, it's an overpay. That's the way that I play the game. I am willing to overpay for running backs when I have to, because the risk of having them any other time is just not worth it.
Right. And the assumption, right, is that Elijah Mitchell helps your team enough to make the playoffs and it's no longer a mid first round pick.
Exactly.
Right. Because you'd be giving up your own pick. So I agree with John. I want Mitchell if I'm competing. I think especially the argument before this weekend was that Elijah Mitchell wasn't catching passes. Right now he catches 5 passes this week and you can't use that argument anymore. Right. That he's not a pass catcher. So if I'm competing, I want Elijah Mitchell. If I'm not, I'm totally fine getting a first because like Russ said, I'm probably going to get a better piece when I move that 2022 first for something else, right? Whether it ends up being a guy like T. Higgins or something like that, right? When I'm rebuilding, I'd rather rebuild with wide receivers than with Elijah Mitchell.
Yes.
But this is the reason why I wanted to bring up Elijah Mitchell, because this list, so there's 6 running backs, including Elijah Mitchell here, that are very, very interesting, that they're all around the same value.
Yeah, I'm curious about this. I haven't looked at who he's around, I honestly have no idea what's coming here.
So this is why I messaged you guys. I was like, get ready for a doozy, because this list is something else. Josh Jacobs, J.K. Dobbins, C.E.H., Elijah Mitchell, James Robinson, and Cam Akers. What a list.
You were not kidding.
This is why I wanted to pick Elijah Mitchell, because I think this is really the choices that we're making right now if we're trading running back for running back.
And I mean, this all goes, this list is literally reversed whether you're competing versus non-competing.
Right.
This is what running back is.
Yeah.
If you're not competing, I'm just going to make 2 lists.
All right, Russ, you want to go first?
I really don't. I don't. This is rough. Okay, so let me start off by saying Akers is at the bottom of my list. I am completely fine missing out if he comes back and does really well, because that's such a small chance. Sorry, Cam. I know you're listening, and I don't mean to like put you out or anything, but we haven't seen it. I really hope you do come back. I always want good things to happen for people. So hopefully you come back. Hopefully you're awesome. I don't really want that risk on me. I have 0 shares of Cam Akers anywhere, and I'm not going to go and acquire it. So he's easily at the bottom of my list. It still drives me insane that Josh Jacobs does not get passes to him. We thought it was a Gruden thing. It's clearly not, because Gruden's been gone for a couple of weeks and he's still not getting any passes thrown to him. If anything, he's losing work to Kenyon Drake. But I still think I put him at the top of this list just because his upside is still there. He always has multiple touchdown upside in every single game. And the second the Raiders have a lead, they will lean on him. So I still think I put Jacobs 1. Yeah, I think you got me, man. I think Mitchell is 2, because there's just, if they don't bring anyone in, if Trey Sermon continues to be no one, like, I mean, I know, I think it was John that was joking, like, oh, watch out, because Jeff Wilson Jr. is coming back. That's not going to change anything. That's not going to, they're 2 completely different things. And even when it was Mostert before, and now Mostert is going to be a 47-year-old coming off of an injury, he's not taking that work away. So Mitchell is my 2. I love Dobbins just way too much. So he's going to be my 3. And it's really just because I love J.K. Dobbins. And if anything, and we know he's not going to get any pass catching work because it's the Ravens, but a good running back behind a good running quarterback equals very good running backs. Yeah, that was very poorly worded, but you got the point. After that, I'm putting James Robinson. I mean, he's good. I'm over the UDFA stuff. I'm over anything. I don't care that ETN was drafted in the first. James Robinson has done so well I almost said that if Urban Meyer knows what he's doing, but I think we've seen Urban Meyer doesn't know what he's doing. But I still think James Robinson has the workload. I still think he will get plenty of carries, still be the goal line back on an offense that can't do much worse. And then I'm going to put CEH because he has no upside. I'm sorry. That man went from the exact same bad process we were joking about with Sermon, where people pushed him up to the 101 because of landing on the Chiefs. But we've seen that that's just not there. And then again, Akers on the bottom. What do you got, John?
Well, we agree that Akers is at the bottom, unfortunately. Although I did like seeing like that video that was surfaced and made the rounds of him running. Like, I'm just glad he's running. Like, yes. For him, that I'm very glad by that. I really do want to see him come back healthy. And like you talked about earlier, overpaying, because if he comes back, like that's, and that's fine. Like got him off of all my teams, I was okay understanding that if I get him back on my teams, it's going to cost me twice what I got rid of him for, which is fine. I am okay with taking that risk. I do hope he comes back and he shines, and I hope he climbs this list so fast next year. For right now, I'm not betting on it. You love Dobbins a lot, not enough. He's number one on my list. With a small caveat, if you're competing, he can't even be on the list, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's just sad. Makes me want to cry. Dobbins is my number one on this list. I want him more than any of these other running backs very easily. I think he has the highest upside, but he has zero upside in 2021, unfortunately. So
I baked that into one list, and which is why were people above him.
Like, I'm just kind of like throwing him out. If you're not competing, get Dobbins. Give up any of these other running backs for Dobbins. Like, give a competitor that somehow is competing with Dobbins on their IR, give them one of these other guys for Dobbins. And they get some extra points, and you get the better player for next year.
You could probably do Jacobs for Dobbins plus at this point.
I don't know. It probably depends on I've had Jacobs benched. He is my number two on this list. But I didn't play him yesterday in some leagues. Like, I don't feel great putting him in my starting lineup. I actually played Elijah Mitchell over him, but I still think value wise, I'd rather have Jacobs than Mitchell. Mitchell does come in at my three on the list. Then I'm going to go CEH and James Robinson. You might be over the UDFA stuff, Russ, but I will never be over it until a team shows an investment, whether it be money or draft stock. I will not trust running backs. If the Jags want to pay him, they could have paid him last year. Everything you said about he's good, guess what? He was good last year too. And they drafted
There's no contractual reason to pay him then.
There's not, but there was no reason to draft Travis Etienne. And they did. So, like, what's changed? He got hurt. Yeah. But James Robinson is just as good this year as, I think last year was actually probably a little better. But even so, like, his talent is still just as good. The only thing that changed is Travis Etienne got hurt. Like, if Travis Etienne's healthy, I don't think James Robinson is doing anything near what he is doing. It doesn't matter how good he is. It matters what the Jags think of him. And they told us. I mean, they straight up told us. I think James Robinson is Daryl Henderson. Great when he's on the field. His organization doesn't seem to care about him. He just doesn't. So, like, his value can drop real fast because his organization doesn't back him. I'm never going to get over that. Next year, if he takes over the backfield, EDM's healthy, and James Robinson is the featured back, and ETN is sitting on the bench just waiting for Robinson to get hurt, that's fine. Maybe I'll change my opinion at that point. I need to see it, because the overwhelming evidence from the NFL is if they don't pay a player, if they draft another player, these people have egos that make these decisions. They don't usually disagree with themselves. It's just not how it works in the NFL. So I can't put him up there yet. What did I end up with? Dobbins, Jacob, Mitchell, CEH, James Robinson, Cam Akers. The biggest point being, go get Dobbins if you're not competing for any of these other running backs. And if you are competing and you have Dobbins sitting there on the IR, look, make that, if you're making that push, Mitchell's going to help you. Jacobs is going to help you. They're going to help you down the stretch. Dobbins isn't. So
what a fun list this is. It is. You know, it's just a cluster. But this is where I have it. And I know I have a lot of Elijah Mitchell love, but he's my one right now. I have Jacobs at two, J.K. Dobbins at three. We differ slightly on, I think, the value of Cam Akers, because though we don't really care about Cam Akers, it seems like everyone else does, right? And in a few months, when we start seeing more videos and they're like, oh, Cam Akers is actually set to return in 2022, people are like, oh yeah, I'll pay for him, right? So that's why I have Cam Akers at four, James Robinson at five, and CEH, not really sure what happened with him, but he's at six for me right now.
I do think Cam Akers' value will increase. I mean, that's just right. How it's going to be. Absolutely. I mean, we all know that's coming. It's just...
It's worth noting, I have no intention of him ever being a starting running back on my team, right? Him being at four is based solely on the fact that I'm trading him in 3-4 months.
Yeah. Right? And that's not a bad move either. I don't know what it costs to get him right now, honestly. I think the people that are holding him right now probably value him at a first.
Yeah.
I'm not paying that.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
Like, I think that's the max he's ever going to be worth again. Even if he comes back healthy, like, it's not going to be 100% healthy. I don't think he reaches that ceiling that he had. Unfortunately, it sucks. I mean, it is what it is. It's an injury, and we have to, one of our pieces in our game got injured. We have to, you know, adjust.
Right. But what a fun list. I'm glad I could just throw this running back list at you, because it felt gross. Yeah. When I wrote them down, and it still doesn't feel great. No matter how I have these ranked, like, it still doesn't feel good that these six running backs are basically lumped together in value.
Yeah, it did not get better after you said it out loud.
Nope. I thought it would, maybe. Like, there was a slight, like a 2% chance. I was like, it'll get better, and it didn't.
It did not. All right, John, what do you got for us?
All right, I'll take us home with the wide receiver. And this is a wide receiver valued very similarly to the one we talked about last week. And it's also one that is beloved by one of the hosts on this show.
But you're going to make me cry, aren't you?
I am. Because honestly, we got to talk about it. It's unfortunate, but I'm curious what you two are doing with Calvin Ridley. I've kind of decided where I'm at. I don't really like it. I wish I felt better about it, but currently, Calvin Ridley is a mid-2022 first and a late second. And like the value is in between a mid and an early. So like, if you want to talk picks, which we don't have specific picks yet in the calculator, but I'm going to say, like, you know, if a mid is picks 5 through 8 and an early is a 1 through 4, he's coming in somewhere between those two values. So he's probably coming in at like, 104, 105, like right there, maybe 103. Like I said, we don't have the single picks yet, but a mid first, late second, which, what are you taking? We'll start with Russ to break his heart initially.
Well, I'm going to stick with Ridley at that point, just because we don't know, because he can come back next week. He said he's stepping away for his mental well-being. And chances are I'm acting like he's gone for the season. I mean, that's what I'm telling my head, that he's taken some time off. He'll come back after the year, get back with the team, have a full off season. Hopefully, I mean, I'm crossing my fingers. That's all I could really do. I mean, this can be him retiring. We just don't know. And if it were someone I wasn't this attached to, then, I mean, the smart answer is probably to take the picks. If anything, because you can probably at this point right now turn those picks into more than just trading Calvin Ridley, because there's nothing that not definitive about those picks. There's going to be a player available at those picks. There may not be a player available in Calvin Ridley, but like, John did this insanely on purpose. And yes, it is. And because it's me, and I said from the beginning of the show, my bias is going to be way out there. And I'm going to keep Calvin Ridley over those picks, even though that's probably the right idea. Mid first, late second, that's probably the right idea. What do you got, Kane?
Give me the picks. Easy. Can't do not play and give me picks.
I think I'm with I'm with Kane on this one. I want the picks, and it's unfortunate. And like, I fully support him stepping away. It's a mental injury.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we have to treat it. You said you're treating it like a season ending injury, but that's based on nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, 1,000%. Like,
we have no way to, you're hoping that.
Yes.
And you're not going to find that out unless he returns at some point this season. What happens then if he doesn't return this season? Then we don't know anything until probably July.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to say anything before.
There's no good news between now and July. Like, it could be bad news between that. So that's a long time frame. Yeah. I mean, we're talking the next 8-9 months where this limbo could be happening, or it could go very bad. I don't even know if it's very badly. I mean, if he wants to retire, that's awesome. I don't want him to do that.
He has to do what's right for him, and we absolutely all understand that. Yeah,
he does. And if the game, if playing in the NFL is part of the cause of what is, you know, affecting his mental health, like, the solution might be to not play.
Yeah.
That's what he might come to find while he is stepping away. If he steps away, you know, he's took a week off, then he came back, and now he's just taking kind of a, you know, an unknown amount of time off. Like, the first time it was, I'm going to take a week and see what happens. And then he came back, and it obviously, a week wasn't enough, you know, nor should it be. Like, you don't recover from, and you never recover from some sort of mental health issue. Like, you just don't. I mean, it's a live with process. So he's always going to have that risk now associated with him of, is he done? If you look at his contract, next year is a massive, massive year. He gets paid a ton of money. It's a contract year. So, like, from that aspect, I got to believe he plays next year. Maybe not. Maybe, I think it's something like an $8 million raise or something like that next year. Like, he's slated to make $11 million, I think it was. I should probably look. Should have written that down. It was a large amount of money. He makes more money in 2022 than he will have made for the first 4 years of his NFL career. So, like, he has a lot of reasons, as T.O. once said, I think it was, you know, I got millions of reasons to play or whatever. But if the NFL is what's causing the issue, he's got enough money to never do anything again, to never have to. Like, he doesn't have to play. He's made enough money to be able to walk away and live a, you know, nice, happy life for the rest of his life. If the NFL, if playing is what the issue is. I'm taking the picks. All right, let's
just get to the list, because
get to the list. We're a little pressed, so yeah. I'm not going to give the list. I'm going to give one name at a time, and I want you both to just weigh in. Which player would you take, Player or Waddle? I kind of did this on Twitter. I gave a list of 15 receivers. Where, you know, it was a thought exercise of, where do you basically rank Ridley right now? How far is he dropping? So we can start, I'll kind of start up near the top. And I'm not giving the same 15 receivers, I don't think. I tried to pick some different ones. But DeAndre Hopkins.
Hopkins.
Okay. Devonta Smith.
Ridley.
All right. So Russ is on Ridley. What about Deontay Johnson?
Deontay Johnson.
All right. I'm going to drop down a little bit lower now. We'll go Jalen Waddle.
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 Wow. Did you ever think you'd say that, Russ?
No.
Like, Jalen Waddle was what, like the 110, 111?
Yeah. But I mean, he's playing a little better than that anyway. But
he's definitely outplaying his draft.
It still
spot.
Hurts my everything to say that out loud.
Amari Cooper.
I'll take Booper Cooper.
I'm not happy about it, but I'll take Amari.
Chase Claypool.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. That might be the wrong answer. I just don't care. I feel like I should be answering these also.
That one's really close. I'll tell you, I'll just weigh in at the end. Mike Evans.
Evans.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah, you're the worst.
Rondale Moore.
Ridley.
All right. Adam Thielen.
Ridley.
I mean, we're getting low down on lists here.
I think Thielen's going to score you points this year, but I want Ridley. I think in a perfect world.
Yeah, Ridley. If I know I'm not going for the championship.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman. I think we're all on right. Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna hit just one more like tier, a little bit lower for me. Marquise Brown.
Ridley.
Ooh, that's interesting, because I kind of think I'm starting to move to Marquise Brown at this point. All right, so I'll just weigh in now. I mean, I'm basically all of them, I think, over Ridley. Getting down to Marquise Brown feels like a very, 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 very big loss. But Marquise Brown seems to have a connection with Lamar Jackson. And
yeah, he's been hovering around that wide receiver 12 for a while now. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's rising up. And yeah. If Ridley's going down, so.
If I were any other human being, the answers would be very different. But I just love me some Calvin Ridley.
That's usually where, like, I mean, like, if two escalate, like, the you know, you got the up escalator, the down escalator. Like, if you ever want to, like, jump over the rail, like, I kind of feel like right now this is the time to jump from Ridley to Marquise Brown.
Yeah, the longer you wait, because like you said before, it was an amazing point where there's no reason for Calvin Ridley to come out and say anything.
No.
Until we get very close to camp.
There's until no reason.
I mean, even OTAs, he doesn't have to say anything.
Nope. He can skip them.
Yeah. So it's not really until minicamp really starts. So we're probably talking July.
Yeah.
Until he has to say anything. And honestly, he's a vet at this point. He can play hard to get. He can say, I'll think about it. And okay, maybe he pays $10,000 in a fine. But like you said,
he's made a lot of money. And he's making next year is, I mean, I should just look it up. Give me a second here. I'll just look it up and Russ can delete the dead air later.
No, I'm not going to do it just because you said I'm going to have to do work. But yeah. And if he does choose to show up, especially that $10,000 of missing OTA or preseason does absolutely nothing to him because he's going to be making $11 million.
2022 salary because his fifth year option got exercised. $11,116,000.
And we're completely ignoring all of the endorsement money he's probably made over the past few years. Like the Atlanta market, he's probably owned when it comes to endorsements. So he's probably got plenty. So I don't really think money is going to be coming into it.
No, I mean, but that is a lot of money. That doubles the income that he's made in the first 4 years. Like, yeah. I mean, that is a significant amount. And that shouldn't be the only thing. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that do their job because they get paid to do it. And that's the only reason a lot of people work. Yeah. Maybe this job's not the job that he thought it was going to be in. Everybody's been in that situation. You got a job. You thought it was going to be your dream job. Then it's not. Like, how motivated do you want to be if it's degrading your health? Like, your mental health. Like, we're in a new area with this. And it's tough to say it's a season-ending injury. That was how I was treating it, Russ. Mm-hmm. Was exactly what you said. Is this is a season-ending injury? He's going to come back next year. He's going to be fine. The more I thought about it, the more I thought, I don't know if that is the way it goes. In the fact that there is a chance that that's not where it goes, and even if he does come back next year, he's always going to have that association now of. He could walk. I mean, we got scared a little bit when some other players have just walked away at the top. He could.
Yep.
I mean, he very well could. And that's going to be attached. That's going to be a stigma that will always keep his value down. Even if he returns next year, even if he returns next week and has a really good, maybe he comes. What if he comes back and goes on like a 3-week tear, but then he takes a week off? Like, that's an unknown that is just, it puts me in a spot where I don't feel comfortable. So it's scary. At some point, though, I think he will get to the point. He's going to continue to drop in value. Then I'm just going to add him because he is such a good player, and I do like him a lot. It's just a matter of that risk right now is I think it's higher than a lot of people are giving credit for because we haven't seen it as much. This is an injury that we don't know about. We don't know what his mental health status is. We aren't on the inside.
And we shouldn't be, we shouldn't have to, we shouldn't, no. It's not something we should ever feel like we deserve.
No, we don't to know deserve, about. We aren't entitled to it. We do have to try and figure out how to adjust our game for it. But it's just different.
Here's the one thing I would say about this whole Calvin Ridley, you know, mental health thing, that there's people that don't really, I don't think anyone ever fully understands mental health, right? And that's part of the unknown of this whole thing, right? But there's some people out there that are just going to be like, Calvin Ridley just doesn't want to play football. And if those people have Calvin Ridley on their teams, you're going to have to pay these prices, right? Of where the calculator sets a mid-2022 first and a late 2022 second. I don't have to pay that to someone that thinks that he doesn't want to play football.
That's what I said on Time Machine. I said, if you're in a league and somebody says in the chat, like, well, this guy's a bum, he just doesn't want to play. That's a mark.
Like, remember when we said that Kyler's just going to decide to play football, baseball the first time he gets sacked?
Yeah. I mean, you go offer a second to that person. It's a bad attitude. And I mean, there are people that have that attitude. And he might not want to play from the standpoint of it's not worth it to him to play. Like that's there's a difference, I think, in the meaning.
Right.
You know, like, and he actually might not want to play even. Like I said, he might be at the point where like this job is just what he doesn't like anymore and he doesn't want to play because of that. It's not that he doesn't have you got to judge the tone, I think, of how somebody would say that.
It's also worth mentioning that Calvin Ridley once told me that he didn't like me on Twitter.
Yes, you deserved it. You said he wasn't that good.
I said he was a boom bust player his first year in the league.
All right. Well, I thought I had my dream job.
So we can all blame Kane then.
Yes.
Truth be told, didn't he actually say something about he has spent so much, like he has spent a lot of time on social media and it does drain him?
I mean, that is draining. I don't know if he said it, but that absolutely is true.
That's just life.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought I had my dream job podcasting with John Bosch, but then he goes week to week making me want to cry with all of these decisions and wide receivers I love. But this has been another, if you ask me, fantastic episode of Dynasty Wall Street, a member of the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast stream. For John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Kane Fasel at Devi underscore Kane. I tried to say it too fast and I failed at it. I am Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse, and we'll see you next week on Dynasty Wall Street.